This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
When all else fails, take the OJ defense. It was planted. At least that's what seems to be going on thus far in the case against Brian Koberger and the charges of murdering the four Idaho college students late last year. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, is joining me. We're hearing the defense making assertions now that the DNA could have been planted at the crime scene. I'm finding this interesting. I'm finding it interesting that they're saying this right as the time comes up for a possible alibi to be spoken of or brought to the table. What is going on here with these assertions that DNA could have been planted at a crime scene? This seems like a pretty dangerous accusation to be making unless they really truly think that there's some sort of legs to it.
Yeah, it seems to me to be kind of a desperate attempt to come up with a defense for him, and I can understand why they're doing that. And are they trying to turn the spotlight on the behavior of the police? Did the police plant DNA? Who else might have planted DNA? So I understand what they're doing, and you know, in trying to save him from the death penalty, potentially, it makes perfect sense that they're doing this. I don't really expect it to go very far, but I guess time will tell. And as I've said before, the theory of police planting evidence to get somebody off worked well for OJ, you know? So I'm sure this is where attorneys go.
It is, but he's no OJ Simpson. And that's a big difference there. I mean, I'm wondering what the psychological effects could possibly be of this, of the implications of Koberger's claim that the DNA was placed by someone else during the investigation. I suppose it very much is going to depend on whether or not they are able to get any legs with that and go with that any further, or if it's very easily proven to be dismissed. Is there damage that can be done just by raising that assertion, whether or not there's any sort of evidence to prove it?
Yeah, I think they can, you know, if they're only looking for reasonable doubt, are there people that certainly have a bias against law enforcement that may say, yeah, this is something that we should consider, you know, maybe somebody put the DNA on there. I don't see it being very likely that this will go very far, but I don't know everything. We'll see.
Yeah. Could Koberger's termination from the teaching assistant position after those altercations also play a role in the public's perception of him? Because it seems like this is very much a PR battle right now with the citizens of Moscow of, okay, how can we get that doubt in there? But there's so many little pieces here and there that, you know, it's like a ping pong game. Well, you got this. Well, we got that. One of those, well, we got that, is the termination from that teaching assistant position, those altercations with the professors that point back to really having issues with a lot of his female colleagues, including students, and taking direction from anyone.
Right, right. And certainly all those things are red flags for somebody that's narcissistic, possibly psychopathic, very manipulative. And if, you know, there's more evidence that he's sadistic that comes out, then he would fit the profile exactly.
With the profile in mind, a lot of his students, and we're hearing more and more come out talking about his behavior after the crime took place. Obviously, at that time, no one knew that he would be suspected of this crime. But they did notice a change in behavior, grading much easier. Apparently, he was a very difficult teaching assistant earlier and graded very hard, now to just pretty much passing everyone and anything, no comments being given, and also looking a bit disheveled, like he hadn't shaved in quite some time and was almost somewhat aloof. All these pieces to the puzzle, almost kind of like turning off the cell phone during the time right. period of an execution of the crime.
Yeah. Yeah. little unusual with that cell phone situation, right? Oh, yeah. It just happened that I turned it off at that hour. So I think we're going to see a lot more information come out. And certainly after the murder, he would have had a mood change. You know, was he more worried about getting caught? Was he preoccupied with other things? Or did he have a certain elevation of mood because he got pleasure out of the crime and was then reliving it a lot in his, he seemed to be a person with obsessiveness, as does Huerman. They both are described as having obsessive tendencies. And so one can assume that he was experiencing a different set of emotions, and we saw that reflected in his behavior after the murders.
How do you think the looming possibility of death is weighing in on the defense strategy of Koberger right now? Because we don't really know exactly what this strategy is, other than it kind of feels like, let's throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. Do you feel like they are trying to exonerate him at this point, or does it more feel like they're trying to keep him from being killed?
Well, at this point, you know, we don't see any evidence of trying to present mitigating circumstances, you know, not like, oh, well, he was abused as a child, that, and that explains all this. They may go there at some point, but we've heard absolutely no evidence or no indication that he had any kind of a history that would account for, you know, developing into the person he is. So I don't really know, but it does seem like at this point, you know, they're going for he didn't do it. And perhaps in his mind, he thinks that there's going to be an exoneration, and that's what they're going for.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.